Wawonosh. Wawonosh was the head of an ancient family of his tribe, which had preserved the line of chieftainship unbroken from a remote time. To the reputation of birth he added the advantages of a tall and commanding person and the impressive qualities of strength and courage. His bow was noted for its size and the feats he had performed with it. His counsel was sought as much as his strength was feared, so that he had come to be equally regarded as a hunter, a warrior, and a counselor. He had now passed the prime of his days, and the term Akiwazi, meaning one who had been long on the earth, was applied to him. Wawonosh had an only daughter, a handsome young woman who had lived through 18 springs. Her father was not more celebrated for his deeds of strength than she for her slender grace, her dark eyes, and dark flowing hair. Many were the young men who sought her hand, but only one had found favor. He was a young hunter of humble parentage, who had no merits to recommend him other than a tall, straight frame, a manly step, and a youthful face beaming with love. The daughter longed to return his love, but the father remained unmoved. Wawonosh sought an alliance more suitable to the rank and high pretensions of his family. "Listen to me, young man," he replied to the trembling hunter who had come to seek his approval, "and be attentive to my words. You ask me to bestow upon you my daughter, the chief comfort of my age and my choicest gift from the Master of Life. Others have asked of me this boon who were as young and as eager. Many have had better claims to become my son-in-law. Have you considered the deeds which have raised me in authority and made my name known to the enemies of my nation? Where is there a chief who is not proud to be the friend of Wawonosh? Where is there a hunter who has excelled Wawonosh? Where is there a warrior who has taken an equal number of scalps? Have you not heard that my fathers came from the east bearing the mark of chieftaincy? Think not that my warrior blood shall mingle with yours. None but the brave can ever hope to claim an alliance with the family of Wawonosh. Go then, young man, and earn a name for yourself." The intimidated young hunter departed. He was determined to do a deed that would make him worthy of the daughter of Wawonosh, or die in the attempt. He called together a number of his young companions and told them of his plan to lead an expedition against the enemy, and asked for their assistance. Several of them took to the idea immediately. The others were soon persuaded, and before 10 suns had set, he found himself at the head of a formidable party of young warriors. Like himself, all were eager to distinguish themselves in battle. Each warrior was armed with a bow and a quiver of arrows tipped with flint or jasper. Each carried a sack filled with pounded corn mixed with pemmican or maple sugar. All were provided with war clubs of hard wood fastened to belts of deerskin. In addition to knives of stone or copper, some carried the ancient shemagon, a long pole with a spearhead of flint firmly tied on with deer's sinews. Adorned with feathers, their bodies painted, they gathered together for the war dance. Their leader was distinguished by the feathers of the bald eagle. As he led them around a bright fire of pine wood, he chanted, "Hear my voice, birds of war. I prepare a feast for you to feed on. I see you cross the enemy lines. Like you, I shall go. I wish the swiftness of your wings. I wish the vengeance of your claws. I must, my friends, I follow your flight. Come, you young men warriors, bear your anger to the place of fighting." Then, suddenly halting, they raised the war cry, and the dance immediately began. An old man sitting at the head of the ring beat time upon a drum, while several of the older warriors shook rattles that made the woods echo with their song. "Here on my breast have I bled, see my battle scars, mountains tremble at my yell, I strike for life." The dance continued with short pauses for 2 successive days and nights. Often during a pause, the medicine man who led the ceremony would address them with words of encouragement. Then the dance would begin again with renewed vigor. Again the young men would chant, "From the south they come, the birds, the warlike birds with sounding wings. I wish to change myself to the body of that swift bird. I throw away my body in the strife." At length the medicine man uttered his final prediction of success. One by one the warriors dropped away from the fire, each making his way to the appointed meeting place at the edge of the enemy's country. Their leader was soon to join them, but not until he had sought out the daughter of Wawanush. He warned her of his determination never to return unless he could establish his name as a warrior. He told her of the humiliation he had suffered at the harsh words of her father. Never could he be content with or without her until he had proved his courage to the entire tribe. Again he told of his great attachment to her. She, too, pledged her love, and they parted. After this last meeting, the only news she was ever to receive from her lover was brought to her by one of his warriors, who reported that he had distinguished himself by the most heroic bravery. But at the end of the battle he had been shot through the breast. The wound had been beyond the power of the young warriors to cure him. They had carried him a day's journey toward home when, greatly weakened, he had finally died in their arms. From that moment on, Wawanush, refusing to take food, she passed her days and nights in solitude, often withdrawing to a lonely spot in the forest where she would sit beneath the boughs of a tree for hours at a time. It was not long before a small bird of beautiful plumage flew into the tree under which she usually sat. It was a strange bird, such as had never been seen before. Every day it came and sang, remaining until dark. Her imagination soon led her to suppose that it was the spirit of her lover, and her visits to the forest became more frequent. Still she fasted, growing weaker with each passing day, until the death she so eagerly desired finally came to her relief. After her death, the bird was never seen again, and it became widely believed that this mysterious creature had flown away with her spirit. But bitter tears of regret fell in the lodge of Wawanush. Too late he regretted his false pride and his harsh treatment of the noble youth.